Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back.
What's happening, everybody?
We are back for episode 93. We're moving on up there.
We are so close.
Episode 93 of 14,605 and counting, ladies and gentlemen. And we are covering the Secret Invasion finale.
Yeah.
Episode 6. So here's the deal. I got a little story to tell here. Okay. Here we go. So, you know, we are 93 episodes into this thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we message back and forth, text and all that, you know, I think, you know, by your text messages and everything, I think 93 episodes in, how long have we known each other?
Oh, man.
When did you join Orange Theory?
Counting Orange Theory?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
what year did you all join?
2017?
Okay.
When did it open? We joined when it opened.
We opened, well, Strongsville opened December of 2017.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 2016. I'm sorry. 2016. Yeah, no, we opened in December 2016. I'm sorry.
2016.
Yes, we opened in 2016, December.
Okay. So Val started, she was an OG member at the tent, signed up at the tent.
Okay.
She's the OG.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she got me roped in.
Right.
Twist my arm. I think it was like 5 or 6 months later. So it's 2017.
Yeah. Okay. Early, so we've been knowing each other for about 6 years now. We are 93 episodes into this podcast.
Yeah.
Right. I think that I have a good sense, just judging by what you write in your messages, I think I have a good sense of how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And I think probably you would say the same about me.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
So, finale day. Let me go to the record.
29 a.m.
So, if you listen to the last show, I made a promise that if the episode runtime for the finale starts with the 3, you are going to hear about it. And you would probably hear about it early in the morning.
Yep.
So I open up my Disney Plus, like, you know, 5:15, 5:20. I get my cup of coffee. I'm ready to rock and roll. Open up Disney Plus, Secret Invasion in the finale. I'm like, yeah, all right, yeah, outstanding. I hit it, click it. I scroll all the way down. I roll past the last few episodes, 39 minutes, 38 minutes. Yep, I get to the episode 6. 38 minutes. And at 5:29 a.m., you heard about it.
I received 5 messages, I believe. Is that right?
Actually, 6.
6. Ah.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, and I've used some colorful language.
You sure did. Right?
But
that was your sign-on tonight, too.
But, 38 minutes. And then you responded at 7:40 a.m. that you haven't watched it yet.
Right.
But this better be a 5-alarm hot ass fire of an episode to give us 38 minutes of a finale.
Yeah.
With a few side eye emojis.
Now, when I responded to you after watching it, I sent you one. I'm not even going to call it a word. It's not even a word. It's a sound. And it was, That was it.
Yep. And when
those
I
were,
looked at
those were I our sign-ons tonight too.
Yep. And when I looked at that, I'm like, oh boy,
Now,
he is not that big of a fan of the finale.
Now, I want to point a few things out. I'm not a hater. I don't just hate things to hate things or dislike things. If I dislike something, there's a reason. If I like something, I'm not going to just automatically like everything. I haven't liked every single thing Marvel MCU has put out. Dark World, come on. But and you know how I feel about Last Jedi. So there's, you know, I'm not just straight up like, oh yeah, I'm a fanboy, love everything. I'm realistic. Okay. I saw a lot of people on Facebook going, man, that was the best finale ever. I'm so jacked. I'm like, what did you watch?
Really? The best?
Yeah, they're like, solid finale.
I've seen none of that.
There was a post. There was a post about the finale, and there were comments. Yeah, just like, solid finale. Oh, I really like that finale. Yeah, this season kind of was, you know, this and that, but the finale finished strong. I'm really happy where it went. They really closed it off really well. And I was like, what are you smoking? What show were you watching? Is this like the wrong post? Are you like, we're talking about Witcher or something?
I texted Mike. Shout out to Mike. Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Yes.
And I was like, Mike, this is probably going to be the first episode where we cover a finale where we both are going to kind of poo-poo on it.
Yeah.
And I told you that, and you did not disagree with that.
No.
And you actually said, I quote, sure will, period. And yeah. I agree.
Period. Now, I made a post on, or a comment on that post that I was talking about. It was talking about the, what do you think about the Secret Invasion finale? And I'm just going to read it to you. It's not very long, but I feel it's not a hate post. It's a realistic post. Comment. So here's what I said. Compelling story up front, some neat reveals with Skrull infiltration, great characters in Gaia, Gravik, and my absolute favorite, Sonya. The show lost me at the real reveal of what the harvest was. From then, the show got flat. This global Skrull infiltration conspiracy over decades all of a sudden came to a screeching halt, and Fury just runs off world again. Maria Hill's death was wasted. Talos, that one I understood for Gaia. Gravik's death was cheap, extremely cheap and rushed. The twist of Gaia in the finale and Sonya's hijinks throughout saved it for me. Overall, I felt it started strong and ended weak. This was the first MCU show finale I've been truly disappointed in. I give it a 5 out of 10. The show.
All right.
Now, what do you think about that? Like, I mean, I want you to tell me what you thought about the whole episode, but what do you think about my comment in general?
I agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. I think the only part that I think differently from you is about Gaia. I was not a fan of that twist at the end, and I'll explain why when we get into it. But for the most part, I pretty much had the same sentiment as what you said. I thought it started out very strong. Like, all right, this is a cool espionage thriller type of deal.
Yeah.
And we're not getting, and I said this when we talked about those first few episodes, that I love the fact that it's not overly superpowered. Like, we're not dealing with superpowers here.
Yes.
You know? And you know, that kind of
that didn't last for long.
That kind of went off the rails now. And it went way off the rails.
You know,
way off the rails.
I mean,
you know?
Off the rails from a perspective of not only, hey, we've got superpowers, but hey, we have every superpower in the freaking universe.
All right, that's going to be part of my big problem. That's but yeah, we'll get into it. But yeah, otherwise, I agree with pretty much what you said.
And I also saw some people say they felt that the show should have had like three more episodes to like wrap things up or to really give depth to what was going on. Because it did just end.
It just boom.
And yeah. Fury's like, yeah, I'm gonna go back up to Sword. I'm like, what? You're just gonna walk away again? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That bothered me. I think I don't know if I agree about the three more episodes, but I feel like we got cheated out of about an hour and a half with these short ass episodes.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're doing. If it would have been solid, yeah, I don't care if the episodes are short then, but damn it, they were just,
okay.
There was a lot of stuff that happened too, where it's like,
let's start to take a dive in this. So I told you that there were some things that I liked.
Yes.
And things that I didn't like. Okay. So in a gross overview of the episode, right. Mm-hmm. And we'll deep dive in some particulars, right? So basically, Fury meets up with Gravik, right, for the harvest. He's got it. They do all this, back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. And, Gravik's like, oh, this is the face of the guy that you told me to kill, my first kill, blah, blah, blah. And Fury's coughing, because he's radiation humans, it's not good. He runs out of iodine pills. Fury gives Gravik the harvest. Gravik turns on the machine, all right, to turn into this super duper skull with all the Avengers DNA. But oh, wait a minute. Fury's in there too, and he gets all the powers too. Oh no, that's not Fury. That's Gaia. And then they have this big CGI fight. Gaia kills Gravik, and then we kind of ride off. Fury rides off into the sunset.
Yeah.
All right. We get Gaia releases all the people that were Skrulls. Ritson delivers this scathing, address to the nation, which I'll talk about. Yeah. Sonya is like, hey, Gaia, you got all these superpowers. Like, bleep Fury, why don't you work with me? And Gaia's like, oh, okay, cool. And then Vara comes up to the ship with Fury because I guess the Kree are now open to peace talks with the Skrulls. And then they ride off into the sunset and then the end.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I said, that was a very, very gross summary of the episode.
That covers.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the roadie part too.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the maybe arguably the most important part of this episode, which is the harvest and the whole superpower thing.
Okay. I have a few things on that.
I'm gonna probably sound like Hot Take Jake right now.
Uh-oh.
Here's my big grind, my gears about this. Okay. That scene was just super, super convenient, and I thought it was lazy.
I'm going to disagree.
I thought it was lazy. Here's why. Right?
Okay.
All right. Here, Gravik, here's the harvest. Oh, okay. Let me turn the machine on right now, right? While Fury, you're still in here. Now, they probably made, I assume, right, that, and this is a big assumption, but I'm assuming that maybe Gravik didn't kill Fury right then and there, like when he gets to harvest, because this machine was made for Skrulls. So
if in fact
for whatever reason there's a human still alive at this point in this radioactive place, once I turn the machine on, this human's going to be dead.
Yes. Okay. Because that machine is working off of radiation.
Yeah.
And it's going to pump radiation out. So anyone that's not a Skrull, because you know they said at the beginning, Skrulls can handle the radiation.
Yep.
He probably turned that thing on like he's dead.
Yeah.
He's just going to be dead as soon as it stops working. Yeah. And when he wasn't, when he wasn't, my thought was, oh, maybe he injected some Skrull blood in his body or something like that, and that helped him survive. Like, that was my thought. I was like, oh, okay.
But yeah.
I
just thought, like, yeah, that's just really, really convenient. Like,
now, see, I didn't think convenient. I thought, and this is something that I've struggled with the MCU a bit, is how they somehow have the male lead swoop in and save the day. That's like the thing. And I thought, oh gosh, I would have been pissed if it would have been Fury. I would have been pissed if he would have ended up having super Skrull powers. I would have shut it off right there and said, nope, that's not realistic to me. When he stumbled in and was coughing and doing all that stuff, I was like, how the hell is he going to come out of this?
And yeah, as soon because, as he okay, Marvel, it, like,
as soon stop as he right there. It, and
let me stop you right there.
Okay.
How is he going to come out of this? Okay. Now, this is where I think Marvel and Disney made a fumble here. They came out with the Marvels trailer before.
Yeah, this, you like, know right he comes before, out of it.
Like, you know he comes out of it. Okay, well, we know that Fury's going to come out of this series, of course.
Yes, but that's...
But I think they could have saved the trailer till after this finale, my opinion.
You know what? You know he's going to, but...
Yeah, he's coming out of it, but, like, I mean...
The interesting
having that trailer fresh in your mind, that just makes the coughing and all that stuff... I was watching it like, okay, whatever. All right, what's gonna happen? Like,
I was
trailer. Thinking, the trailer dulled that moment for me.
Well, it didn't for me. I was
for me. Like,
I was okay with it because I was like, he's putting an act on. I'm like, there's no way he's really feeling that bad because we know he comes out of this alive. And that's okay. I think it's okay to know that because I mean they've got to promote their movies. They're all about making money from the movies. And I mean maybe they could have not shown Nick Fury in the movie. They could have just shown scenes with the three of them.
I would just
three like, Marvels.
Well, like you couldn't wait just like three or four more days.
Like, yeah, the trailer could have showed.
Like, yeah,
the three of them. They could have showed them on Shield or
like
or
they
sword.
Did, like they. Been doing in some of their movies lately is after the finale then show the trailer included in the episode
or
maybe that would have added a few more minutes to the damn thing. Jesus.
Yes. but like show they could have showed other footage and not included Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And then after the finale like next week they could have popped out a new trailer with him in it.
Yeah.
I get it. I did not have a problem with him with like, oh, is he going to survive or not? I mean, even if you wouldn't have showed that trailer, but like, he's not going to die. They're not going to kill him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you assume that, yeah, he's going to come out of it. But like,
be honest.
Like, you know, it's just like, all right, they kind of like ruined the moment for me a little bit by coming out with that trailer.
So, like, so now he's coughing and he's, oh, and he drops his iodide pills and this and that. And I was like, he's got some trick up his sleeve. He's luring Gravik in, and he's going to take him out. I was like, okay, got that. And then one of my favorite parts of the episode was Gravik's monologue. Mm-hmm. Because it was just incredible acting.
Yeah.
On Kingsley Ben-Adir's part. The way he like got in his face, grabbed his face. Yelling in his face was like his the way he was pointing the rage at him, it was perfect. It was like this is a grown ass Skrull letting out childhood fury, pun intended, on the adult who promised him the world.
Yes.
I thought that was incredible.
I agree with that.
Now, when he flipped the switch, and Fury was in there, and I'm like, dude, he's dead. I'm like, there's no way Gravik would flip that switch with Fury in there and be like, hey, you can have some Skrull powers too. You know, there's no way. Like, he thinks he's going to be dead.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and looks at him, and he's like, you're not dead yet, and swings at him. And then you find out it's Gaia. And I was like, F yeah. I went nuts. Because my thing is that I can't stand this, like, swoop in and save the day. It's always got to be, like, Fury. It was always Iron Man. It was, you know what I mean? It's like, she swooped in. And she was, because I was like, how are they going to use the fact that she didn't die to get back at Gravik? And I appreciated the fact that it was her against him. Because at the end of the first episode or beginning of the second episode, they showed young Gaia and a young Gravik looking at each other. They're both children who came into the scenario. He was an angry, angsty fighter. She was the daughter of the general. And as they got older, Gravik took over and kicked her dad out and killed both her parents. So what better way to get back at him than have it be her? I thought that was awesome. And then Fury ended up in the hospital with Rhodey and Sonya and all them. I thought that part was well done, personally.
All right.
What I didn't like was that they gave both of them these, like, crazy powers, but then she freaking killed him in, like, less than 5 minutes. She put a blast through his chest and he just died. And I'm like, what about the freaking extremist powers? Unless she blew his heart out. I mean, seriously. I was like, all right. What the hell?
Here's my problems. I agree with you in the sense that I like that it ends up being Gravik versus Gaia.
Yeah.
And Gaia kind of gets a little bit of retribution for her parents.
Yes.
I can dig that. Here's my big overarching problem.
But one thing I want to point in there is I wouldn't have liked to see Fury kill Gravik because Fury was wrong. Gravik was right.
He was, yes.
So for Fury to kill him would have been like, oh, man.
No, Gravik, I think
had
that,
a good point, and Fury had to kill him. No, Gaia doing it makes all the sense in the world. I think
that Gaia doing the deed, yes.
Yeah.
I dig that. I did that.
That was a cool pump fake in reverse for me.
Here's my thing, right? So at the end of the penultimate episode, episode 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fury's on the phone, like, all right, we got to finish this. All right, it's time. So we were speculating the last episode, like, you know, ooh, is it Carol Danvers? Is it Monica Rambeau? All right, so it's ended up being Gaia is who he was talking to, right? We spent this whole series. This is my problem, right? We spent this whole series like this is Fury's thing, and basically we don't need superpower people or beings to help us.
Yes.
Right. This is he spent the whole, he did a whole monologue the second to last episode talking about how, oh, well, if I can't use my head, basically, you know, the thing that my mama gave me between my ears, then maybe I'm better off just being dust. He spent this whole monologue talking about all that. Then he has the harvest DNA. We talked about that problem the last episode. So, all right. Yeah, you don't want to depend on superheroes, yet you harvest all the Avengers DNA. Okay.
Right.
Now, you give these superpowers to Gaia, and you basically had a superhero save the day. And to me, that undermined the whole thing. Not only a superhero, right? She is now by far the most powerful thing in the MCU, right? She's sure. like super. She's like Superman without the kryptonite.
Super duper right? Scroll.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Not only does she have all these Avengers powers, right? Steve Rogers or Tony Stark or T'Challa, you know, or Thor, when they walk down the street, you're like, oh shit, that's Thor.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, that's Steve Rogers, right? You can have somebody who looks like Hot Take Jake walk by you by down the street.
Hey,
like,
buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Hot Take Jake? and then, you know, Hot Take Jake says, all right, hey, how you doing? And then you turn your back, and then all of a sudden you're getting Hulk smashed.
Yeah.
So not only does she have the powers, she can hide in plain sight. That makes her even more powerful.
Sure.
And I think when you're making a new Avengers team, when the dominant feeling, I think, if you look on social media, the dominant feeling is that this Avengers team is going to be super weak. And I felt this way about the Justice League movie, the Whedon cut, not the Snyder cut, but the Whedon cut.
Mm-hmm. Just to Superman. Confirm, you said Whedon cut, not Weenie cut, right?
Yes.
Hashtag Weenie cut.
But in that original cut of the Justice League, basically, Superman comes in and saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
It's ridiculous.
The other people on the team didn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, the Snyder cut was different. The Snyder cut, they had to
see it
basically it depended on Flash. Like Flash was like the MVP in the Snyder cut.
Well, but even if you look back at What If, when they had that whole team going up against Infinity Killmonger,
yep,
it was basically Strange and then the rest of the team that doesn't even matter.
Yes.
I mean, obviously they gave Black Widow a chance to be the hero and Captain Carter, but it was basically if you took him out, the team couldn't handle Infinity right. Killmonger.
I felt like with that, they just undermined the team of the Justice League. And basically, earlier in that movie, like if it wasn't for Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne bringing his mom there,
yeah,
like Superman was about to take all of them out.
Yep.
All of them. He's about to wipe all of them out. So I feel, now you can agree or disagree, I feel that Marvel has just done the same thing with their new Avengers team. Like they just undermined the rest of the team because now you have this all-powerful being that can just do anything. Like, do you really need anybody else?
Like, honestly? Well, so a couple things. On that one, you had, you know, Wanda, arguably one of the strongest Avengers in her youth and in her young age of her powers,
mm-hmm.
not knowing how to use them right and having a human brain and human emotions and flaws. And she was so powerful, but she didn't know how to handle it. And you saw how that was in Infinity War, Endgame, etc. And then now you see what she did, Multiverse of Madness. Okay. So having all that power doesn't mean anything unless you can point it in the right direction. So Gaia is super powerful, but she needs to figure out how to use it. She's still technically a kid in that situation. It's like giving somebody a whole set of tools, like, holy shit, you've got every cool tool and powerful tool, and you could build a freaking house. Do you know how to build a house? No, you don't know how to build a house. Let's figure it out. So yeah, she's powerful, but she's got to figure it out. The other thing, I don't necessarily think they undermined the next Avengers team. I think what they did was give themselves a huge problem, though, to have to figure out. Then, I mean, if this is on the writers of Secret Invasion, everybody else who's writing movies after this and shows after this has to be like, what the hell did you just do to us?
Yeah.
What is your, like, that guy's walking down problem? The hall. That team of writers from Secret Invasion is walking down the hall like, suck it. And those guys are like, you son of, come on. You know,
they gave them that's a what huge I felt like. Problem. Yeah, absolutely.
But
I'd be like, what the hell, man?
Now, in regards to the superpower thing, saving the day, I have two thoughts on that. One, Fury could have given him a dud and been like, what? I have no powers. This didn't even work. And then Gaia changes into herself and like, oh, I'm not Fury. I'm Gaia. And I got the same power as you do. Let's go. And could have had that fight. Fine. Regardless, leaving it to Gaia versus Gravik in that situation was a huge roll of the dice. Like, hey, let's give him all these harvest powers and Gaia, I hope you kill him. Because if you don't, we're screwed.
Yeah.
So that was like, woo, that's dangerous. But I would argue that he used that thing between his ears that his mama gave him to outsmart Gravik. Gravik thought he had the upper hand on Fury. He fired that thing up, and Fury, Gaia, was there like, I'll take this too. And now he's like, shit, now I got to fight someone who's got the same power set that I do, and neither of us know how to use it, and who's going to be the fastest one to learn it and kill the other one off? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
I mean, he outsmarted Gravik big time. Outsmarted
Gravik, yes, but then because, the whole we don't need superheroes thing. Like, you did. But, you outsmarted him, honestly, but you did. You did need superheroes.
And I think he might have been hoping that the bluff would pay off, like, all right, I'll call off the dogs. I'll take the stuff. I'll trust you, Fury, again, and I'll get out of here. If that would have happened, Earth is saved. But he's banking on like Gravik making the call like, hey, cancel it. Now he had to be in two places at once, and he was technically.
Yeah, dinner.
And yeah. And him going now, see, that's the other thing too. Gravik knowing that Fury, quote unquote Fury, was going to be coming to him, he's like, the rest of this plan is gonna play out just how I want because I got Fury right where I want him. He's like, oops, no, I don't. Fury has Sonya and is going to the president and is going to get him to call it off. And that, I think, was the other smart play. He basically took Gravik down twice in that situation and took out Rhodey, which was nuts. I mean, that's a gamble right there if you're pointing a gun, but if you know for sure, you're like, yeah, I know that's not Rhodey. I've seen it. Why not take the shot, you know?
Yeah.
That was interesting. So I don't really have too much of a problem with the fight happening and the way the chess game went about. My problem is how the fight went down, how easily she took him out. I mean, he was a warrior. She was not. She was not somebody who had fought in any kind of battle like Gravik had. So he definitely had the upper hand on that, but she had emotion and kind of rage
and she had good aim or a lucky shot, you know.
Yeah, doing she didn't a shoot
Captain
for the
Marvel
head,
blast through the chest.
She should have shot for the head.
Yeah, and point should have went to the head.
Yep.
Your point. And I was kind of thinking about this too, but you reminded me when you said it, like, all right, does the extremist not work if you like get enough of the body or like, how does that,
you know what,
like,
I got to remember this because,
or if you get enough of the heart or something like that, like
back in Iron Man 3, there was a thing where they would like blow up and couldn't come back.
Yeah.
So maybe it is something like, maybe she did get, I got to look back and get enough watch
of,
it back.
If you get enough of it, of the person or thing or whatever.
Yeah, maybe the extremists can't recover.
Right.
It might be that it has to regenerate fast enough.
Well, that was kind of with loss of, that's kind of what, like with Wolverine too. Like he, you know, he heals, but if you mess him up enough, you know, and that bad, he will actually die. Like what happened in Days of Futures Past comic, like the comic.
So what's interesting is there's also something in the comic that happens where Logan gets incinerated down to his bones, and he's still.
I think that's what happened in the Days of Futures Past.
Yeah, too, and he still survives
for the most
it.
Part. But in Days of Futures Past, that killed him.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about, he was like somehow survived as a skeleton, like grew everything back. Comics are weird like that, though.
Yeah.
So there are a few things I had a problem with. Uh-oh. They showed all of the characters that were in the Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Thanos.
Yes.
Some of them were, for instance, I'm gonna read this because, again, I don't like looking up things, but this one I couldn't resist. Let me see. So this says, so these are a list of questions that this person who wrote this article, it's on Screen Rant, had. Well, I can... I gotta control myself here. First of all, it says, despite neither character being one of the 36 characters present at Endgame's final battle, both Ghost and Abomination were present at the Battle of Earth, apparently, because their DNA was in the Harvest.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I'm like, why is Abomination in there?
It said Ghost was easy to explain because she had she was on good terms with Janet and Scott, and they could have called her to fight alongside them. Sure, fine, whatever. Abomination was the confusing part, but it did say he had a one-time invitation to join the Avengers. It appeared in Phil Coulson's Marvel one-shot, The Consultant. So that could have paid off to have him join. Makes his redemptive arc in She-Hulk more logical, and perhaps explains why Wong was so convinced that there was some good in him. So, maybe. Okay, sure, that might make sense, right?
That's a stretch, but okay.
It's a stretch. Yeah. But when they mentioned Wong and him working with Abomination, it's like, oh, okay, that could be where that came from. But these are the questions that were posed. Let's see what you think. So first was, how did Thanos' DNA remain after he was dusted? Second, why does Fury call it Avengers DNA when it has villains and guardians and other superpowered individuals unaffiliated with the hero group? Where were Ghost and Abomination hiding during the battle? Why didn't Hulk react to Blonsky's presence? When did all the heroes actually bleed during the battle? Interesting. If Rhodey became a Skrull in Civil War, why didn't his Skrull DNA show up in Fury's radar during the Harvest?
Well, okay, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
When Rhodey was switched, but anyway.
Yes.
Continue.
Why are both Ghost and Winter Soldier called by their nicknames? Why not Ava Starr and Bucky Barnes? Why is Bucky's DNA even there? Where are Black Panther, Nebula, and Scarlet Witch's DNA samples? They are genetically altered heroes too. Who told Nick Fury the names of Corvus Glaive, Cull Obsidian, and Proxima Midnight? I think they're all interesting questions. Some of them may be nitpicky. Some of them may
be I think some of them are splitting hairs. Like, sure.
But still interesting points, right?
Yeah.
This is where, like, I feel like, I think we talked about this last show. I feel like the shows and the movies now are getting to the point where they're having a very short window to write things so they can get on set and do all the production stuff to get it ready for theaters because they have all their other projects lined up with release dates. So they're just like, we need to finish this. And instead of taking time to fine-tune all those plot holes and things, they're just like, wow, we don't need to explain this one. Or it almost seems lazy to me. Now, where you said lazy earlier, I'm saying lazy here in terms of, I'm not saying this. Okay, I gotta think about this a little bit better. I'm not saying this to say that the writers are lazy, because they're not. I'm saying they, and rightfully so, with what's going on with the writer's strike in Hollywood and everything, they're not given enough time or a good enough work environment to do their job properly. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I kind of, as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking about it like the Orange Theory template design team. Like, they have to turn around these workouts in a quick amount of time. Like, they have to roll out workouts every month.
Right.
And they have to test them and quality control and everything. But in every template, there's always, or every fit book every month, there's always a few spots where it's like, this doesn't make sense. Or like, hey, like, you know, nobody caught this, or nobody thought about this. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, they have to, and I understand, like, they have to like turn around these workouts in a quick amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of workouts to do,
yeah,
you know, 2G, 3G, 2G 45, now lift 45, and
yeah,
all this stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, like the writers, like, you know, they're not given the best conditions, and they have to get these projects done in a certain amount of time, well, to where, you know, they may not be able to address all these.
And we kind of see this even like in my work, where you're having X amount of time to get a product on the shelf. And it's like, it needs to be done by this time. It's like, well, you don't understand. We have to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to take us this much time. And they say, but you have this much time.
Yeah, figure it out.
Like, great. So then when there's problems later on, it's like, well, what are these problems? How do we fix these problems? It's like, give us more time to fix the product up front. You know, like, what the hell's wrong with you? It's, I mean, I can, and I don't know if it's up to, if this is straight up on Feige, but it's like, these writers have got to be like, dude, we need more time. And he's like, F them, get it done. You have until May 30th. It is May 25th, and we have 75% of it written. F them. Just get it done, and
get done.
Whatever you got by the 30th, that's what we're going with. And it's hard to change things after the fact too. And you're like, oh my god, we're done. You almost need time to finish the writing, take a week, come back, pick it up, and now you got fresh eyes. You can be like, oh wow, wow, we really thought that was a good idea. Let's rethink this. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say final draft. Our final draft is our second draft. You know what I mean? Like, you need some time. So I think that's the problem they're running into, though, is they have tight deadlines to meet to keep the train moving, and they're not able to fine-tune things as well as they should. And it results in lower quality plot. And I don't think it's the writer's fault. I think it's the environment that they're in. So
yeah.
The roadie part.
Okay, let's talk about roadie.
So I have there's a theory that there was a meme that I saw. I think this is Marvel India. That's the Facebook group that's doing this.
Yep.
And it says, now you notice when roadie came out of the pod, he had to be carried out of there.
Yep.
Okay. It says, Rhodey's legs aren't working in Secret Invasion finale, and he used leg braces in Infinity War and Endgame, but his legs are totally fine in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I saw that too. Yep.
Which means Rhodey has been replaced by Skrulls after Endgame.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the dominant school of thought, and I was just about to send you that picture of that.
Yeah.
When it first came out, I saw on the internet machine, oh, he's been a Skrull since Civil War.
And I'm like, I was wondering the same thing.
And I was like, wait a minute, no. It couldn't have been that long. And remember at the beginning of the show, I said, like, his legs are working pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we spent a good deal of time talking, and I was asking the question, like, about
the argument of his nanobots working on
the cover.
Yeah, right.
We were talking about that. Like, yeah, like, what was the progression of that? Like, because, yes, he had the braces in Infinity War and Endgame, and then in Falcon and Winter Soldier, he was walking pretty good. He was walking fine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and also, his attitude, especially when he was talking to NATO, when he was like, if that country rolls their eyes at me one more time, they're getting carpet bombed. And I was like,
well,
that's
yeah,
a very unroady thing to say. He was not. He was the one who was always pulling Tony back. Like,
yes,
chill out.
And he I want to believe that it was the real Rhodey during one of my favorite lines in Endgame when he was talking mm-hmm. about, why don't we just, you know, go to baby Thanos and.
Yep. And it was, like, so, I mean, it has to have been him.
That's like, that's him. Real Rhodey line, I think. The baby Thanos line.
Well, and then when he said, you're fired, Nick. It's like, no, Fury. You called him Nick.
Yeah.
That was another key.
And then, like, you know,
right.
I said I appreciated, you know, the Undertaker reference. He talked about firing Fury.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, I DDT'd him off the top rope.
Yep.
Like, it was Undertaker level. And, you know, the wrestling fan in me, like, I appreciated the reference, but Undertaker never really had the DDT in his arsenal.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he kind of got that wrong.
Yep.
So I was like, yeah, you Skrull, you know, get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, like,
the Skrulls have a way to copy brainwaves or thoughts and download everything from the person they're assimilating. So, I mean, he's got the knowledge, but again, it's, if you could have all the tools in the world, but if you don't know how to use them right to make a house, they're worthless.
Yeah.
And he, and those Skrulls have all the information in the world, but if it's used incorrectly, again, goes back to Captain Marvel, the movie, when Fury made the comment about, just like in whatever country, whatever war it was, and Talos, as that person that Fury had known forever, replied, and Fury's like, no, you're wrong. You said what I said, and I was making stuff up, and you just agreed with it because you have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was. Like things like that. It's just things like that. If you have the knowledge, but you don't know how to apply it, like saying that Undertaker would DDT from the top rope, that's not an Undertaker move.
Yeah.
So
it was funny though. But yeah. Obviously, we'll find out in Armor Wars. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so, because yeah. Obviously, when they finished Eternals,
if they completely and you were like, sweep that on the rug. That would just be odd. So
it would. Well, no, but look at Eternals. They had that huge celestial heaven hand sticking out of the freaking ocean, and they haven't touched that yet. Can't really sweep that under the rug. It's too big, but they somehow did. So they're just going to be like, Rhodey's back, and he's going to be like, ah, oh, feels
he's
good
back.
To be my skin again, and that's all they're going to talk about it.
It's a very fair point. That is a very fair point.
They've sweat bigger under the rug. Rhodey being Skrulled, they're not gonna. And so, okay, and so was Martin or
Everett Ross. Yeah.
How long had that been?
That's kind of a more interesting one, I think, because
I feel
he
like
was married to Val. He had that relationship with T'Challa and the Wakandans.
That's
a more interesting one, I think.
That had to have been a really recent pickup, because I feel like what was going on in Black Panther or Wakanda Forever, That had to have been really him. The way he was doing things. Because if it wouldn't have been him, he'd just be like, I don't care. Do what you gotta do. I'm out.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that that was
That's
a recent swap.
yeah.
The whole thing with Ritson,
Okay,
I didn't
that
like
was
that.
actually something that I liked.
Really?
Yeah. Tell me why you didn't like it. I'll tell you why I liked it.
Okay. I didn't like it because I felt it was too convenient for the president of the US to just be okay, first of all, Talos saved his life. That was documented. Like, people knew that. And all of a sudden, he's just going to be like, oh, hey, a Skrull actually saved us from the Skrulls, and a Skrull saved my life, but they're condemned. They're dead. Don't even touch foot on Earth. I was like, what the hell was that? And then the whole way through, when Fury called him, I'm like, is Ritson a Skrull? We just don't know it. Like, I was like, what the hell is going on here? I did not like that. I mean, I'm curious to hear your perspective why you liked it, because I mean, maybe I didn't think about it the way you're gonna talk about it,
Probably
but go
not.
for it.
The reason why I like it has really nothing to do with this show, right? Ritson was spewing all this hate, like, yeah, don't trust anybody. Basically, he did the old Stone Cold DTA, don't trust anybody, and Skrulls are awful, and yada yada yada, right? The reason why I liked it, because, and you saw people like. During his speech, you saw like people randomly like attacking people and shooting people.
That
So
was
it was
scary.
like it was chaos, right?
Yeah.
The reason why I liked it because it starts to set up the climate beautifully for the mutants and when they come in the MCU.
Oh,
Because what
you
is
and
their
your
whole
freaking
deal?
mutants. Oh
Because
my
what is their
God.
whole deal? The
Yeah.
humans don't like us. People fear what they don't understand.
That's true.
And we already set it up with Skrulls. We're starting to set the climate of the MCU for the mutants. That's why I said, that's why I like it. It has nothing to do with this show. But I immediately thought, wow, they are setting the stage for the X-Men. And I dig it. I saw a tweet like a couple days ago that said, like, I guess some people will probably classify this tweet as quote unquote woke, but it was true. The first part of the tweet said the X-Men is about civil rights. And if you don't understand
Sure.
that, then you don't understand the X-Men.
Right.
And
I
it
agree
was
with that.
absolutely creepy because that is literally why Xavier started the school,
Yeah.
because they were being condemned by humans, people who weren't mutants, and that's why he started the school.
Well,
And
and
that is literally that is the foundation of the mutants fight.
yeah.
Xavier and Magneto,
Yeah.
they have two different perspectives,
And that's
but
what
they
I was
both
just gonna
want the
say.
same thing.
Yeah.
They both, it's kind of like Malcolm and Martin, right?
Yeah,
You know, they both want the same thing, but
I
just two
was
different things.
thinking the
Civil rights.
same thought.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I thought
It's looking at
Ritson's speech.
Xavier wanting to coexist and find a way to make things work, and Magneto being like, nah, nope. They hate
By
us.
any
Let's get
means
rid of them.
necessary, you know,
Yep.
F
Yep,
them.
exactly.
You
That's
know?
you're totally right.
So I thought Ritson's speech starts to set that climate up for the
Yeah,
mutants.
I can. So if that's the case, then yes, I like it.
I
But
mean,
when are we gonna get
I'm
mutants?
probably one of the few people
2030?
that were probably looking that far. That's because I want the X-Men,
2030.
right? Damn. I'm gonna be like in my mid-40s when the freaking mutants come into you. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's what's gonna happen. And then you're already like, don't you say it. Here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna get a little tease of mutants, and you're gonna be like, yeah, that was Wolverine and Cyclops. Oh my god, I'm stoked. Let's go. And then they're gonna be like, the MCU is being canceled, and they're gonna reboot.
So they're gonna
So
they're gonna reboot them with mutants. Right? Screw Iron Man, Spider-Man, all Thor. We don't need them. F them. Yeah, F-em. We're gonna reboot them F-em. With mutants. That's what we're gonna do. Yeah, I would be down with that. Okay. Yes. Yep. So.
F them.
Yep. So yeah, that's why I liked Rich and Speech. I was looking at it in that way. And that's where my mind immediately went to.
Okay.
So
I think, you know, I would have liked it better if they would have went, all right, here's Ritson pulling up and he's going to go, I have appointed this person as my head of extraterrestrial defense or something like that. Okay, I'm just spitballing here. And that person would have come out and made the speech. Take it out of the hands of the president. The president's like, eh, yeah, I'm not gonna deal with this. I need someone to deal with it for me who has this type of clout or whatever. They have power or whatever. And they say, we're gonna just any extraterrestrial people, blah blah blah. And then that ends up being like the dude who puts together the Sentinels or something.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like, now you've given somebody like almost like sword and shield powers, and it's like anti-Skrull, anti-alien, and then all of a sudden these mutants come out, and now it's anti-mutant, and they create the Sentinels or something. Like, I would have liked that path.
Ooh.
I just didn't like the president being the person
Sentinels.
To do it.
Starting to get a little wood here.
Control yourself, man. that's my feel was just like it just felt like it, that felt convenient to me.
It was very convenient. It was like kind of out of place, a little weird.
Just forgetting that,
yeah,
you know, a Skrull saved your life, and
right,
Skrull,
it was very out of pocket,
yeah,
right, but like. Again, that's where my mind went. And I'm like, all right, I dig it, because that's where my mind wants to go.
And at that point, you know, of the broadcast where they were showing like people running in and just like, okay, they shoot the one guy. Okay, he really was a Skrull. They shoot the one lady and like, oh, she wasn't.
Oh, she wasn't.
And that shows that angry fear that gets put into people's heads about things like a witch hunt or like the communist scare or the, what did they call it about Dungeons and Dragons? Was it the Satan something? They were afraid of people, you know, playing Dungeons and Dragons because they were Satanists or something like that. If you put the right words out there and fear in people's minds, they're just going to be scared and, you know, chaos.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a scary, like real world parallel. But I mean, if that's what they're going with, I get it. So, I had something else.
What about the whole Vara ending?
I'm fine with that. I thought he was just going to straight up ask her to go up there with him, and he didn't. And I was like, come on. She's a Skrull. She's in this tough place on the planet now. Bring her up there with you. She's like, she's going to come back down. Like, she can come back down. Stay up there. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
She can be in her Skrull skin up there.
Yeah.
So
how did
It didn't so much bother me. What bothered me was how it just was all of a sudden like, oh, hey, we killed Gravik, and my job is done here. You guys have fun cleaning this shit up. I'm going back up to Sword.
All right. So the way my mind works here, so, you know, he's a human. She's a Skrull. They kissed at the end. I'm like, all right, that's all well and good.
What are you thinking? You're thinking
the way my mind works, you know, that's, you know, humans at least, you know, we have needs, right?
I was drinking something. Needs.
And how does that work in a human and a Skrull? Listen, this is what, all right, when you only give me 38 minutes of the finale, this is where my mind goes to fill some time. So, like, you know, like, how does that, okay, I can't be the only one that's thinking about this. All right, I know I'm not the only one that's thinking about this.
I wasn't.
Okay, so what if you weren't? I know I'm not the only one.
I am now.
So,
what are you trying to go? You trying to go Family Guy with the whole ear thing? Is that what you're trying to do?
I mean, is the equipment similar? Like, I would imagine. Like, how do they, you know, kind of get their, you know, or if you turn into, or if, you know, she turns into Priscilla, do you have all the human equipment?
I would probably say no. All appearances sake, probably it looks like it clothed.
But
probably not, though. Because you see when they bleed or they get something cut off, it reverts back to what it was.
Oh, so when they're like in the zone, they kind of revert back to.
Well, no, you know. I mean like when Rhodey got shot, it was purple.
Right, purple I'm blood. Saying like so you know when you're in that moment, and you're feeling that way, they revert. You know,
she's just gonna turn green. Start turning green. Like, oh, she's close. Is that what you're trying to say?
Okay, so all of our listeners out here, this is what happens when you
don't give us enough material.
Right? And listen, I will stand on this hill that I am not the only one who had, or at least wondered or pondered. Like, how does that work?
Pull my hair. No, it's gone. I can't. It's not there. I'm over here laughing while you're talking because that's all I could think about.
See?
I wouldn't have thought about this unless you said something.
I mean, they share that passionate kiss at the end.
Yeah.
You got to think that, all right, you know, they're, you know, they get up on the Saber ship and maybe they got a little room up in the ship and, you know, Monica Rambeau knocks on the door. They got the little do not disturb sign on the door.
Sock.
You know.
Sock on the doorknob.
Yeah. Hey man, I'm just wondering. Like, I know I'm not the only one.
Okay. So. There was an interesting image compilation that I saw, it showed from Captain Marvel, it showed Monica sitting on the steps with Gaia.
Yep.
And then it showed Monica with Carol from Captain Marvel and Gaia there also. And then underneath it, it showed Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel floating, surrounded by that colorful halo. Next to it, Monica Rambeau dressed as, what's she calling herself, Spectrum? Captain Marvel also. Colorful halo surrounding her whole body. Next frame, Gaia, human form, hovering, surrounded by a colorful halo. All three of them. From that point, you know, emulating Carol, basically. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. Like when they showed her hovering with that like light surrounding her.
Yeah.
That was a neat image. I think they did that intentionally.
They're like, oh, of course they did. They're like, hey, Amelia Clark. Here, we need some star power for our next series of phases or whatever have you. So we're gonna make you like basically Superwoman on steroids for the MCU. Here you go.
So that makes me wonder, is she gonna show up in the Marvels? She could.
I mean, this is they set up a whole Kree Skrull peace talk, quote unquote, deal with the end of this, and it seems like the main villain or one of the villains from the trailer
is Kree. Yep.
So that's set up like that. So I mean, she wouldn't be out of place if she was in it.
I'm telling you, we need in this next movie, we need Hulkling, because he is a Kree Skrull hybrid. I don't know if you know who that is.
A Kree Skrull hybrid.
Yeah, his name is Hulkling. I'm going to pull him up real quick because I want to make sure I have all my information. Teddy Altman is his name. So here's the thing about Hulkling. Cool character. He is, like I said, a Kree Skrull hybrid. He is a Young Avengers member. Powers and abilities. He is... Oh, it says... offspring of Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell, the original Captain Marvel, and a Skrull princess. But he has shape-shifting abilities. He also has, he can form... He has different physical abilities, can form claws, extend his reach, create body armor, grow wings so he can fly. So he's really kind of neat. They called him Hulkling, I think, because of his green color and how it looked like Hulk.
Yeah.
He has a healing factor. And it says in the recent stories he's come into possession of a mythical cosmic sword called Excelsior. That'd be cool. Excelsior.
Yeah.
But the other big thing is his character is known for a relationship with a fellow young Avenger, Wiccan. And they're a gay couple. Wiccan and Speed are the sons of Wanda. And Wiccan is Billy.
That would be a whole lot of stuff they kind of throw in.
All
maybe
would,
maybe do a nod. Maybe
all they would
they
have to do
to,
is introduce the character, because you have Kree versus Skrull basically. Introduce the character as a hybrid to help with peace talks. Boom. There's Hulkling. Got him. All you got to do is introduce the character. You do not need to do full extensive anything, really.
No, you
don't. Because if you're going to go the route of Young Avengers and you've got Billy and, well, let's just call him Wiccan and Speed because I can't remember the other's name at the moment. But all you got to do is introduce him. And you want to do Young Avengers stuff? Boom. Now you got Teddy involved. It's all clean. So
we'll see.
That's I hope we see him in the Marvels. Probably not, but I would probably go nuts on the level of Cad Bane.
Really? Like
and Howard,
that.
The Duck.
Wow.
I'm going for dark horses here.
You are. Yeah. Well,
so anyway,
well, yeah, I think, overall, so we got into this big discussion when we covered the first two episodes of this series about Maria Hill's death. You said you were disappointed.
Yeah.
And I said, I went to the wrestling business, you know. I said they did a heel turn, right, with Maria Hill's death. And I said, as long as there's a big payoff at the end, which I think it will be, is what I said at the time, then they're going to make Maria Hill's death worth it. Now that we had the finale, damn, she died for this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely not worth it. I think, they could have just left her out of it, really.
They really could have, yeah.
She didn't even need to be involved.
She didn't.
Had that happen to her.
She could have been like, all right, Fury, you know, here's Talos. Peace out. Later.
Yeah, I've got other things to tend to. She must have wanted out.
She's been so loyal to him, though, throughout the MCU, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of in her character to do that.
Really, they could have just used her in the first episode with the whole thing with Everett Ross. Passed it off to Fury when he came down, and she could have said, look, I can't deal with this. Yeah, this is your problem. I'm sorry. You know I love you, but I've got to go handle this other issue. And could have alluded to some other Avengers or MCU project going on. But no, they just kill her.
Yeah. So,
So I feel like it was wasted. They could have just left her out of it. Talos was enough. His death was enough. So, I mean, I'm just assuming she probably wanted out of the MCU at that point and was like, hey, here's my opportunity. Kobe Smulders, I mean, the actress, not Maria Hill. And you know what? She's going to take a gut shot from a gun, and that's going to kill her. But Princess Leia can float outside of a ship and a force fly her way back in.
Jesus, you had to bring that up. Goodness gracious.
I'm just saying, weirder shit has happened, and that's it.
So, yeah. Secret Invasion in a nutshell, for me at least. started out great with great promise, so much intrigue and all this other stuff. But for me, it just falls flat the way that it ends.
And that's like my post, like the comment I read at the beginning, compelling story up front, flat after the harvest, and the finale was ho hum.
Yeah.
So there were good things about the show. There really were.
Yes.
And but like I said,
Like
when they mentioned,
Sonya's the biggest bright spot probably of the series.
oh yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
I really liked her character a lot. I want to see more of it.
Yes.
And it just, when they mentioned this harvest, I was like, ooh, this will be interesting. And then when they said
Yeah.
what it was, I was like, what? What? You're kidding me, right?
Yeah. And we talked about it the last episode. Like, come on.
And for them
Come
to
on.
take a comic series like Secret Invasion, as big as Secret Invasion, because that's a bit, I didn't even finish it. I was reading it and I was like, there's all this content surrounding it. I can't even get my grip on it and trying to get through it. And I couldn't finish it because I got wrapped up in other stuff and I forgot where I was and I was like, I gotta start over, or I gotta previously on Secret Invasion figure it out. To take such a huge event, take the title of it, basically make a show and call it Secret Invasion, not even include some of the compelling characters from that, especially Jessica Drew, 3D man getting a nod in there, as I mentioned, being able to see Skrulls as their true form. Hercules has a big role in it. You're not going to use any of them. You're just going to say, hey, let's do Secret Invasion. It's like, no, it's like doing Infinity War. We're doing the Infinity Stones without Adam Warlock.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
just it that frustrated me too. Like, we're just going to use this series, but we're not going to use any of the stuff from it. We're just going to use Skrulls, and they're hiding.
That's the MCU for you. I think I saw an article. I didn't read it. I just saw the headline. Like, Secret Invasion proves that Marvel fatigue or MCU fatigue is a real thing. And I don't think this is just, for me at least, I don't think it's MCU fatigue. I just think that this series fell flat at the end. 'Cause I was all about it. Like, I was excited about this finale. I was pumped. I was texting you, like, I was pumped about this finale. I was ready to rock and roll. And
Yeah,
then,
me too. 38 effing minutes. I think this might be. I mean, I've. Quantumania was. I thought was. It had good parts, but I overall was kind of about it. But I wasn't quite as disappointed. I feel like this one really is the first one that really truly disappointed me. And it's probably because of the hype going into it. It was like, wow, this is going to be the dark spy thriller that the MCU needs right now. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was for a little bit.
yeah, like, yeah. This goes back to that whole horse drawing meme that you keep seeing. It's episodes 1, 2, and 3, the horse is looking sweet. And in episodes 4 and 5, the horse is starting to look crummy. And 6, it's like a 1-year-old drew
The
it.
stick figure
Yeah.
drawing. Yeah.
So is that even a horse's head? What is that? Is it the horse's ass on the other end too? You know? Well,
So,
I think our next MCU project is.
next MCU project. Wow, is it a series before the Marvels?
Is it Echo? Or does Echo come after the Marvels?
By the way, for those of you wondering, Secret Invasion has the worst Rotten Tomatoes score for a finale in the MCU. So there you go.
Yeah, I know. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up the... Well, I tapped on it if it's going to work. Here we go. Let's see what we got. We had Guardians 3, Secret Invasion. What's next? Loki Season 2, October 6th. Yes!
All right.
Stoked! Okay, there you go. The Marvels, November 10th. Echo, November 29th. And then it shows TBA, Agatha, Coven of Chaos. Deadpool 3. Oh, man. I'm excited for that, too. Yeah, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Brave New World. Looks like it says July 2024. And et cetera, et cetera. So next we got Loki Season 2. Then the Marvels. Then Echo this year.
All right.
Yeah.
Our next project, though, on this podcast will be Ahsoka.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wait. What did that say? Did that say August?
Yeah, it's August something.
23rd. Yeah, Ahsoka, August 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going
to
be awesome,
try
too.
Try to get in some Clone Wars Rebels time before then.
Yeah, to refresh. People, do your homework, seriously.
Yep.
Get out there. At least watch some Rebels episodes. There's a list out there somewhere, I think.
There's several lists. Yeah. Do a whole easy Google search and it'll guide you.
Yeah. If you do the bare minimum, at least do that. Just get some stuff in, be like, oh, okay, I know who these characters are now.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, skip the episode where Kanan dies.
If you want tears for the next week of your life.
Holy hell. There was a thing about what's the saddest moment in Star Wars, and I think that was one of the choices.
Yeah.
Like, I distinctly remember when I watched that episode, I legit had to sit on my couch in silence for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to process that.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
What just happened?
Yeah, that was...
And I had a friend warn me. And I'm like, oh, she's a girl. She don't know what she's talking about. She's just emotional.
Mistake number one.
Yeah, right? Dude, I was like legit on my couch in silence for 10 minutes.
That was a hard one.
And I was like... And I texted her. I'm like, you were right. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Like, she warned me. She warned me. So, like. So.
Yeah, that was rough.
That one. Yeah. So. So, yeah, if you are going to do a Rebels review, FYI, if you're sensitive, you know, if you're apt to, you know, tears. May want to avoid that episode.
I would argue that that had more of an emotional impact on me than Qui-Gon.
I told you that for me was the saddest Star Wars moment out of it, anything.
I mean, Qui-Gon, you kind of knew was going to happen. That one you didn't expect.
Yeah. So.
Well, anyway, that'll be. Possibly, I think that might be the next time you guys hear from us, the drop of Ahsoka. Maybe we'll figure something out here in between there.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do like a Clone Wars Rebels recap, here's what you should know episode. That'd be nice.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Here's what you should know.
We'll give a user's guide. for, or our listener or viewer's guide for Ahsoka. I'll put that list together. We'll get some stuff, some topics together. So, all right. I think, man, that's it for me.
I'm looking at these lists. I just randomly looked up the list of saddest Star Wars moments.
Yeah.
Man. That's not even on this list.
Really?
Number one was Rogue One's entire ending.
was that really sad, though? Or was that kind of like, meh, you know? They said that a lot of people lost their lives delivering this information. It was kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you knew that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that.
You know, and they're on the freaking planet, and you have the freaking Death Star, you know, warming up. Like, there ain't nowhere to go.
Yeah. Right.
You know what's coming.
Right. There's no, like,
you know, it's kind of saved at the last minute. One of those deals. Like, there's a lot of movies that end that way. Like, they're on the beach, and this is kind of like their last breath. And,
yeah,
you know, you got this ominous, big ass moon looking thing firing up. Like, yeah. All right, yeah, you know,
and really, like, this is where I have a problem with a lot of prequel type stuff, because. Yeah, I mean, obviously, people, we're going into a Star Wars talk now. So if you're just in for the Marvel stuff, hold on to your butts. Here we're going to talk about Star Wars some more. And I mean, honestly, my beef with, like, the whole Andor thing is, okay, what are you giving us here? Are you giving us something that we don't know? Are you giving us information of, like, oh wow, that's really compelling. That's how that happened. Got it. You know, okay, but. In the end, Andor is going to go on this mission, and he's going to die with the rest of them delivering the Death Star plans to Leia. You know what I mean? That's just, we know what's going to happen. Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, doing a series like Andor, yeah, that was a pretty cool first season. I really enjoyed the whole thing, but where does it go from there? It goes to Andor getting to where he ends up in the movie.
All right. Here's a quick list. Top 8 saddest moments in Star Wars.
Let's go.
Number 8. Grogu leaving Din at the end of season 2 of Mando.
I don't agree with that.
Number 7. The ending of Rogue One.
I mean, that can be on that list. I think it makes sense to be on that list.
Number 6. Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order. I agree with that.
Ooh.
I think that one might, I would put that one a little higher for me, but anyway.
Yeah, that's a really good one, because that was like, that wasn't
that's
so
part
much
of his fall.
Yes. And
that's,
I don't
part
know
of if, his fall.
I don't know if I would necessarily say that was sad as in like boo hoo. I would say it's like a shock, and it's sad because she was let down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Number 5, Qui-Gon dying.
Yeah, that goes up there.
Number 4, Obi-Wan seeing a glimpse of Anakin at the end of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nah.
Number 3, Ahsoka's last shot during the Clone Wars finale. That was when she's at the graveyard and, like, has all the clone helmets on those sticks to mark the graves.
Nah.
Number 2, Obi-Wan's speech to Anakin on Mustafar.
Yeah, I give that one a maybe not number 2, but that should be on that list, I think.
Number 1, Order 66.
Which perspective? Because there's a few. are you talking like? In episode 3, Order 66.
The first sentence, Star Wars fans have seen Order 66 so many times.
Yeah. You know what else should be on
it
there?
It says it is a new perspective each time.
I think
they're talking about it as a whole, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe I would say the saddest part was when Yoda realized what happened.
Yeah.
To me, that would be like the one. Yes, that's the saddest part. I agree that Kanan should be on there. And also, I think Caleb Doom, when he's told to run, should be on there. That moment in, that was Bad Batch season one. First episode, wasn't it?
Yep, that was the first one.
When they finally showed what happened to him with his mentor. I think that should be on there because that was a big one.
How do you not have Kanan's death on
that list? Yeah, for real.
did nobody watch that? Like,
I think Obi-Wan's death from Luke's perspective should be on there. No, I know it should be on there. Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's death. That was sad.
Yeah.
That one was like right out the gate. You're like, oh, that's their barbecued body hanging out. Crawling, trying to crawl out of there. They're dead. Whoa, God. rocked his universe right there. All right, old Ben, let's get the F out of here.
All right.
Well, you know what the saddest moment should be on that list? Should be Poe delivering the line, "The Emperor somehow returned."
Dude, oh my God. Everybody's heart just shattered into pieces in the theater. Like, what the bleep is this?
Oh, you don't mean sad that way.
Sure. God.
Oh, he even delivered that line like somehow the Emperor returned.
He had that's Oscar Isaac being frustrated, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're probably like,
That wasn't Poe. That was Oscar Isaac delivering.
They're probably
that
like
line.
Cut, hey, could you deliver that line again with a little more emotion? And he probably looked at the camera and was like, that's all you're getting out of me.
Yeah.
I can't act that bad.
Yeah.
I can't pretend to believe the line that it's coming out of my mouth right now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe we'll do some Star Wars recap for another show before Ahsoka.
I like that idea.
And I just looked at freaking like five lists. None of them have Kanan Jarrus' death.
What
like
the heck?
What the hell, man?
That's some bullshit.
And I think another one too is relatively new. Which I looked at a list.
IG's sacrifice at the end of Mando season one.
I thought that was more noble than sad.
Yeah.
I wasn't very sad per se.
Stormtrooper punching Grogu in the face and in the sack on the side of the speeder.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
Yeah, that was more what the hell's wrong with you, dude?
That was more anger, yeah.
You're not working in Hollywood ever again.
Yeah. What about what was his name in Andor? Kino.
Kino.
What did
when he couldn't swim?
Yeah.
That was more
why can't I think of his name?
Comedy of errors irony for me.
Kino Loy, Andy Serkis's character.
Maybe not like sad, like, oh, I want to shed a tear, but kind of like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
You womp, got womp. There and you can't swim. Yeah.
Maybe we'll add that to the list of things to do.
The saddest moments in Star Wars?
Yes. Yes. I just find that unbelievable.
Yeah.
That Kanan Jarrus's death is not on any list that I looked at.
So we're gonna put a note in my I'm gonna put a note. Saddest Star Wars moments aside from Kanan's death. Because we both agree.
Gosh. And that's number one for me. Like damn, yeah. I'm telling the truth. I legit had to sit on my couch in silence for a good 10 minutes before I was able to do anything.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And it's so funny to think that, because it's like, you'd be like, it's animated. You're like, who gives a crap if it's animated? It was sad.
I was watching something or listening to something, and they were talking about that, you know, like animation, this is another medium. Like, it's not a cartoon. Like, they like they were talking about, like, animation being like a cartoon and animation being a medium, like another medium. Like, well, that's what Star Wars stuff is. It's like, it's not a cartoon.
Yeah,
like, it's another medium.
How can you look at not including that scene as one of the saddest Star Wars moments? And then you got people who watch things like Toy Story, Up, Finding Nemo. People are bawling their eyes out.
Yeah.
Moana.
Damn it. I forget what I was watching, or was it a podcast?
Encanto. Yeah. I'm not speaking from personal experience. Yes, I am. How are you gonna tell me you can't watch those things and shed a tear, but you're gonna watch that part of Rebels and not be like devastated?
Yeah, especially too, like, at that point, you know, I mean, they were like four or five seasons deep.
Yeah,
they were so just you're invested done. Yeah, like,
you are invested in the ghost and their crew, right? The ghost.
Yeah
You're invested in all of them. You're rooting for Zeb and Callus. Like, these dudes are gonna be best friends. Like,
yeah,
duh. I mean people reacted to R2-D2 like, oh, I hope he's okay. Like, you're like feeling the same way about Chopper, you know? You're
I hope he's an animal in live action.
Oh, he better be.
Chopper's gonna be a beast.
I want to look at Chopper's kill count versus R2's.
Did you see that meme that I shared? Choppenheimer. It's got like Chopper's image with like the Oppenheimer background for the movie.
No,
it's called Choppenheimer.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. No. What I would love to see in live action, I'd love to see Dr. Aphra with BT and 000.
Ooh,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
there was some more Vader stuff while they're at it.
Well, boys and girls,
this episode, you know, really carried on. And you know what? I want to look back, and I hope we only gave that Secret Invasion finale 38 effing minutes of time on our show.
Nah, it was probably a little bit longer.
We gave more. We did give more.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have only kept it to 38 minutes. Should have looked at it and be like, nope, that's 38. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Nothing more to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm all tapped out here.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah. So, disappointment on the Secret Invasion front.
But yeah.
We'll have that.
Hey, they can't all be winners.
Can't all be bangers.
They can't all be bangers. Yep, that's the tagline of this show.
That's right. Right?
They can't all be bangers. So.
Well, until next time, we'll hopefully, we're trying to promise it. We'll figure it out. We're going to get a little piece together about Ahsoka to lead into it. We'll talk about some things. And then next time will be Ahsoka, and following that will be probably, was it Loki season 2, I said?
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
Yeah, that'll
October.
Be it.
October. Yeah.
So, thanks for listening once again. And for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake, and
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.